Well, like many of us, I remember the sense of shock as I learned about Peter Allison's sudden death a couple of months ago. The sense of struggling to believe that it was true, that it was real. Remember the phone calls on that Sunday afternoon to various former members of the church here. And to be honest, none of them needed reminding who Peter Allison were. Whether it was the warmth of Peter's welcome or Allison's teaching in Sunday school, everybody remembered who they were. And the sense of not seeing them in those roles again was hard to take. But as the day went on, this thought struck me. I felt desperately sorry for Anna and Ben. I feel desperately sad for those who are missing Peter and Allison's friendship. The only people I don't feel sorry for are Peter and Allison. Now that might seem strange. I mean, we've seen the pictures of their last days, the holiday they enjoyed on the Isle of Man, and I guess they could have looked forward to many similar adventures as retirement took hold. And so at one level you kind of say, what a waste, what a tragedy. But I couldn't feel that for Peter and Allison. And far more importantly, Peter and Allison would say that. What has happened to them, for them, is not a tragedy. And we know that because of the way they lived. And we know that because of the instructions that Allison left behind. I wonder whether you could guess which of the two of them actually left instructions for their funeral. Slightly to my surprise, it was Allison and not Peter. And Allison left quite strict instructions for what the preacher was to say on such occasion. To be honest, Allison never told me what to preach when she was alive, but she has today. And to be honest, the instructions were so clear that I wish she had told me what I should preach when she was alive. But she chose our second reading, Ecclesiastes 12, the book in which this wise preacher, possibly King Solomon, examines life, examines work, examines pleasure, examines hobbies, examines friendships. And in this chapter, he presents his conclusions and his instructions. And the key instruction is this: remember your Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You know, when you're young, before old age strikes, make sure you look to God. And the instruction Allison gave me was to say, tell people that by God's grace, that's what I did. In her youth, as we've heard, both she and also Peter recognized they were creatures, those who'd been given life as a gift by God. And some of you will remember Peter and Allison in their youth as they were baptized and subsequently married. They were remembering life was a gift given to them by God. And the preacher gives this instruction: remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. And the next few verses pick up the various troubles, the challenges of old age, where the grinders are few because teeth have fallen out. And the almond tree blossoms, you know, the almond tree's white, the hair turns white. Remember God before the troubles of old age come. Now, at one level, Peter and Allison may not have reached real old age. And it's fair to say that they did have happy times during their lives. My first memory of hospitality in Peter and Allison's house was a family rendition of a Gilbert and Sullivan song, which is stuck in my memory, sometimes for good reasons. But as has been picked up, they did know days of trouble, whether that was redundancy or dangers, difficulties with both physical and mental health. And yet they persevered. It was a huge privilege to pastor Peter and Allison for about 19 years or so, and you know, drop them a Christmas card. And often I would write in the Christmas card, so thankful for your encouragement and perseverance. The reason I knew that was the line that I always put in was because Peter came up to me and said, yeah, the same line for the fifth year in a row. And so, to be honest, I then wrote, so thankful for your support and endurance. But they were incredibly encouraging. And they persevered. boy, did they persevere in trusting the Lord. Because they persevered looking to Jesus. And what struck me as they went through those challenges was that the creator that they remembered in their youth, that God who made them, was the God that they clung to. And again, the second message that Alison told me to pass on today, the Lord sustained me in my troubles. The Lord sustained me in my troubles. Remember your creator before the days of trouble come. And as the preacher goes on with his message, he's clear that those troubles one day do give way to death. The day he talks about when the mourners go about the streets, days like today, days where the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. If you're going to do life well and wisely, you need to reckon on days like today. Anybody who wants to do life well needs to recognize that death is the reality to which it all heads. And yet the teacher has just a hint that as bodies return to the ground, there is something more, an eternal home, a spirit returning to a God who made it. And just beyond the passage that was read, a day when God will bring all things to judgment. And accounting for the way in which we live. Remember your creator in the days of trouble come, before the day when death strikes. But what is hinted at in Ecclesiastes, this hint of an eternal home, becomes even more explicit with the coming of the Lord Jesus. The one who died and the one who rose again. So that the Apostle Paul in the reading the family chose can say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And actually, we're coming to the reason I couldn't feel sorry for Peter and Alison. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because to die is to go to be with Jesus, to go to be with Christ, which is better by far. You know, as you think about Peter and Alison's life, nobody can doubt that actually for them to live was Christ. They believed that Jesus was nothing less than that creator, come down to walk on the earth, that we might know God. They believed that Jesus was the one who walked on this earth, who showed his compassion, not least as he wept for a friend at a funeral. They believed that Jesus was the one of ultimate wisdom, who taught crowds in such a way that his teaching is still admired today. They knew Jesus was the man of humility who would wash his disciples' feet. They believed Jesus was the man of love who went to the cross to pay for the wrong, the sins that we've committed. They believed that Jesus was the one who demonstrated his power as he rose again from the dead. They believed in Jesus. Jesus was everything to them. For them to live was Christ. And because for them to live was Christ, to die is gain. Because to die is to go to be with Jesus. As they lived on earth, they lived by faith. Now they live by sight, as they see Jesus face to face. In a moment, we'll listen to a hymn by the 19th century hymn writer Fanny Crosby, again chosen for us by Alison. She's probably better known for hymns like To God Be the Glory, but we're going to listen to a hymn she wrote. And I shall see him face to face. What's particularly moving about that is that Fanny Crosby was blind. And so as she dies, she has the confidence that she will see. But not just see anything. See the one she trusted all through a painful life, see Jesus face to face. You can feel the pathos of it. And I have to be honest, on that Sunday, that was the thought that struck me. So often Peter and Alison had struggled through darker times to trust, to cling. Often through dark thoughts that pervaded particularly Alison's mind. But no more. None of that anymore. Just face to face with Jesus. seeing perfectly clearly. I couldn't feel sorry for her. To be with Jesus, which is better by far. Here's the instruction Alison gave me. Assure people this is where I am, looking at his beautiful face. That was the line I saw in the email. Assure people that this is where I am, looking at his beautiful face. And can I say that is no make-believe? That's not simply something we use to cheer us up on days like today. It is a solid certainty because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus lived on earth, died, his execution witnessed and recorded. And then the solid historical reality that Jesus came back to life. The tomb was empty. His body was gone. He appeared to hundreds. The disciples who 2 days earlier were utterly defeated became a movement that changed the world. Because Jesus Christ is risen. And it is because Jesus died and emerged out the other side that we can have confidence today that those who trust Jesus, though they die, yet they live. And they come out the other side. And because Jesus rose, Peter and Alison are with him today. But there was one last thing, one last instruction that Alison gave me, and it was in bold type. So I better obey it. Give them the gospel. Give them the gospel, was the instruction to the preacher. The nature of Peter and Alison's death reminds us we don't know when the end will come for any of us. I mean, that's the shock of it, isn't it? We don't know when the end will come for any of us. And so that, if anything, gives a greater urgency to the command of the preacher. Remember him before the silver cord is severed. An image of death, remember him before the dust goes down to the ground. Because the preacher says God will bring every deed to judgment. Which means for every human being is alive, nothing is more important, nothing is more urgent than knowing the God who made us before the day when we meet that God. Can I ask, when the mourners go about the streets for you, will people be able to say, I don't feel sorry for them? That's actually the question that death presents us with. When we die, people should either be desperately sorry for us or have no need to be sorry for us. And it is that stark, actually. And that's why if Peter and Alison would hear, they would plead. It is vital to remember your Creator, to know the God who made you. Because only those who say to live is Christ can say to die is gain. And if this morning is a day when you just think, I'm just not sure. If you're local, we'd love to see you back here as we explore these big issues of life and death all the time. Or it may even be today's the day when you need to come back to your Creator, or actually for the first time speak to your Creator and put your trust in the Lord Jesus as the only one who can take us through death. So whilst we don't need to feel sorry for Peter and Alison, we do need to pay attention to ourselves. And the glorious news is it's possible for it to be different. It's possible for us to be as confident as Peter and Alison were in the face of death. Because those who say to live is Christ, who put their trust in Jesus, who trust that because he died and rose again, we can. Those who say to live is Christ will be able to say to die is gain. I know today is a desperately sad day for many of us. We miss them so much. And yet for them it's glory to be with Christ, better by far. Amen. We're going to listen to the song that Alison chose for us, which speaks of seeing Jesus face to face.
As Anna and I met about a week or two ago to discuss this service, we were talking about how to end it. And as we discussed that, two themes came up. The first theme, life is hard. Peter and Alison never hid from that reality. The second theme, which they proclaimed readily at every opportunity, God is worth it. God is worth it. Our final hymn speaks of the sorrows and trials of this life.